You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
Hello, I'm here. Just wanted to interrupt. It's part of the pattern.
You know, I was hoping you'd actually start with a song.
Could I really?
Yeah.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I said it's the only song I ever sang in church. Like, I planted a church in, was it 91, I think I sound. We spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. You recognize the song? Half in hopeless sorrow. I bet our listeners do. Half in fear of the day. He'd find the soul. He's alive. You don't recognize that?
No,
oh,
I don't.
My gosh. You are so...
I thought you were going to sing Let It Go.
Let it go. Let it go. Listen, okay, you need to let it go. Let's let this go.
Okay. Right. Here's the question.
We probably, again, violated copyright rules right there. Yeah. I don't know. That was satire, so I don't know if it really counts.
Yeah. So let's listen to this question by Brian Alton, a future church planner.
Would Brian like some advice on worship leadership in his church? He's alive.
Okay. Do the question.
Yeah.
My name is Brian. I'm a deacon and future church planter on mission to reach people near Montreal, Quebec, where less than 1% of the population are evangelical Christians. Often when we hear about new church plants, we hear about core groups and launch teams. Sometimes they sound like large groups of hundreds of people, and sometimes it seems like it's just one married couple getting everything started. In your opinion, what would the ideal church planting team look like? What roles and giftings should exist? And if you were to plant a church without one of those roles, which role would it be?
Well, in previous episodes, we've talked about launch teams, core groups, the difference of both. But I actually know Brian. I'm a friend of his. And the unique thing that I want to bring up here as he talks about the ideal church planting team, he's actually in a church where every staff member raises their own support.
Wow.
Right. So they're reaching Montreal. They have a pretty large staff. They're called Church 21 in French, Église 21.
Yeah.
Right.
I like the way you went to the French there.
Yeah,
really
exactly.
Good. Do you speak French?
A little bit.
You just kind of muttered through that, though, like you did. That's so good. I can use my ridiculous French accent.
Oh, yes. And speak a Québécois.
Yes. That was.
Okay.
Sorry. Are we going to offend like the entire Quebecois nation and vice versa?
No, I mean, I passed you there.
Okay.
You know, I have some background there.
And so. I love the Quebecois.
So yeah. And we were actually just there.
And we just did a TV show,
yeah.
The Exchange. We're doing several episodes to point out the exciting things going on in Montreal and church planning.
Yeah.
So that should make up for my ridiculous French accent. Okay, go ahead.
So their church, right? I mean, Church 21, I mean, every single person on their staff is self-supported, and they have a pretty large staff where they can figure out, okay, one guy's in charge of residencies, the other's in charge of here, and they're all full-time as a part of the church.
Wow, like a big team, right?
Yeah, it is a big team because they're all self-supported. And I have some other friends in Montreal who they're planting now. They planted currently, you know, he's the only full-time staff member, others who've planted 10 years ago, and it's, you know, they're struggling with one or two staff members. So that's kind of the unique thing, and what I wanted to bring here that maybe we could dialogue on was the difference between those two approaches.
Yeah, so the difference between the staff approach and
and even just the self-supporting.
Yeah. It's a beastly difference too. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little cautious, Daniel, about large teams, because large teams I find tend to create their own community rather than actually being on mission in community.
Completely.
And so it's a tricky thing.
And one the staff things, culture that it can develop.
Yeah, the staff culture can great. But not always. So let me back in the day when I was doing my PhD dissertation, I did it on church.
You sound so old.
It is kind of old,
back
right?
In the day, when you climbed up the hill.
When I climbed up walking uphill both ways
both
in the snow.
Ways, yeah.
What we found was that the optimal team size seemed to be about 1.5, one full-time and one half-time person. And what happened was, now again, this is a limited sample, you know, it was specific to one denomination, is that when you had like three or four full-time people, it actually didn't have the same kind of growth. The investment was not as helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things later on, having planted a church with a team, right? I've done a church plant with multiple team members. One of the things we said is everyone needs their own orbit, and the orbits get to intersect, but they don't overlap.
That's good.
Okay, so the orbit, one person would go start a series of small groups over here. You have to have three small groups here that you're leading, and the other team member, three small groups.
So the orbit is your ministry area?
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the people over involved in your ministry area. So there's the ministry area. So one person would be in charge of like three small groups, but also children's ministry, one of the staff. But the point is, we don't need three staff members pastoring the same 30 yes. people.
Yeah, you're right.
So and then what we need, we do need three staff members all outwardly focused, outwardly facing with small groups that are not reaching the same people. So that's part of why we try to do that. So a clear delineation of responsibilities and a clear sense that you are pastoring a different set within our church so that we don't get this overlap. And lastly, you got to really – so the community that we're building, so let's say Joe Planter is over here and Joe is going to be with a group of people on the team that specifically Joe's going to build and be in community with – right, maybe Janet's over here. Mm-hmm. Janet's going to be on the team building a specific group of people she's in community with. And then we will have not the the closest friends we have in the church will not be one another, but the people in Joe's sphere of influence and Janet's sphere of influence. And then we're still close, but we're not like a cell within a cell within a cell that's difficult to break into. We're building little cells all around.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's tricky. So the big team, because here's the thing. I mean, they're Montreal. Montreal is, I mean, that's, you know, of course, I mean, there's some great breakthrough stories, but still, it's just hard work.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
You know, the Quebecois are the largest unreached people group in all the Americas numerically, yeah. Oh, with the percent evangelical, right? Mm-hmm. And so we spent a long time, and to have a multi-staff team with a church that in all likelihood is not going to grow quickly enough to get to self-sufficiency. Now, you know who these people are.
Yeah.
So you may know that it's already grown to 500. We've heard some crazy stories, but there's a reason we've heard the crazy stories. Mm-hmm. It's because normally it takes a long time. Can the self-supported missionary, church planter, mm-hmm. continue for 4, 5, or 6 years what it normally might take to get to the place to support multi-staff members? Mm-hmm. Or, and here's my concern, or will we end up people having to quit and leave, and then it demoralizes the church because we didn't get self-sufficient fast enough. So that's the tricky part. Now, I don't know the situation you do, but that's some just top-of-the-mind thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things about Brian is he's looking to start a new plant in the South Shore of Montreal. So, I mean, Brian, when you look at the different roles and giftings that need to exist in a church planting team, we talk about implanting missional churches, but there are 7 roles: the guest services coordinator, a volunteer coordinator, the evangelism coordinator, the assimilation and groups coordinator, the children's coordinator, the worship coordinator, and the financial coordinator. Now, whether or not you have 7 different people leading each of these areas, part of what we talked about in previous episodes was the idea of breaking the growth barriers and becoming a leader of leaders, and finding leaders of leaders who can lead each of these areas. But when you're starting out, it may be difficult to find 7 distinct people
right.
to lead each
right.
of these areas.
So, but I wouldn't go public until I had several of those in place.
Yes.
So you know, the timetable, I've never had staff members in all of those roles, mm-hmm. but I've never started a church. We didn't have somebody in charge of children. We'd have somebody in charge of worship.
And you almost need to be a megachurch size to have a staff member
each
of those.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we wrote this, I mean, I think in the book we talk about this. When is that out, by the way?
April, May of 2016.
Okay, April, May of 2016 mm-hmm. is Planting Missional Churches, second edition
yeah.
Under that title, the third edition if we include the prior title of planting yeah. postmodern, new churches in a postmodern age back yeah. when we used that term. So when we wrote that, mm-hmm. and the example I gave is none of those were staff people. Mm-hmm. It was basically the solo planter and the team that the solo planter put together. Mm-hmm. So if some of those are staff people, that's great. But I don't want staff people directly in charge of children's ministry. I want a volunteer in charge of children's
yes.
ministry.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. So
or even it doesn't scale.
It doesn't scale, exactly. Mm-hmm. So even if staff members are initially involved, I would not go public if I didn't have the majority of those 7 roles filled and filled by people who aren't the pastors.
Yeah. And once again, Brian, I mean, having these 7 roles is important for your launch team, you know, for the development of a ministry that has the ability to scale, has the ability to grow. But you can have one person who's maybe doing 2 or 3 of those coordinator positions, and you may even, it's part of the whole I lead, you watch, I lead, you do, and that whole mentality of saying, okay, who are these potential leaders of leaders that I can bring under my wing and help shepherd and lead to go into each of these areas?
Yeah, and this is a recurring theme on all of our podcasts. People mm-hmm. can listen through. We've talked about breaking barriers. It's about mm-hmm. developing leaders. We've talked about keeping momentum. It's about developing leaders. But leaders lead something. And so having some ideas about the seven things. Now, didn't he ask, though, specifically about which you could do without?
Yeah. If you're at a planet church without one of these roles, which one would it be?
Gosh, I think I would combine maybe like the assimilation coordinator with the groups coordinator or something to that effect. So I think you could combine some of those.
Yeah.
You know, children's ministry. I don't know. That's a kind of a standalone one. You got to have worship.
Well, guest services and volunteer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you could combine some of those.
As well. Yeah,
yeah.
So our encouragement to you, Brian, would be as you continue to move towards planting, look for individuals who you can partner with, individuals, leaders of leaders, even churches who might be even willing to say, hey, Brian, we want to be a part of what you are doing in the South Shore. We want to send a launch team with you. And who knows, by them coming with you, committing with you for perhaps maybe a year, maybe God would lead them to stay or even send other people as well.
Yeah, now we call those, I don't know if this resonates in Montreal, we call those some as a SWAT team, which we stands for special, willing, and temporary.
Now we could do the Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that's right. I don't even know the Mission Impossible music.
Yeah,
but the idea here is that you'd have a group of people who will help you to get launched and get started and get going, and then sort of drop their engagement involvement later on. Some might stay, but what I would say is say to them, I need 6 months, I need a year. I need you to help develop a shadow somebody who becomes a leader, takes your place, and at the end of that time, you would sort of depart from that role.
Right on. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have a question about church planting, multi-site, or multiplication, just send it in at newchurches.com. The right sidebar says send voicemail, or you can download the app, speakpipe.com/newchurches, and send them in.
I should start interrupting the closing. Should I do that?
Stop.
No. Stop. See you. Okay, bye.